This morning I had Mass at Central Juvenile Hall, and the opening song was something, the refrain was, "Stay awake, stay awake." It was kind of lively. And I think all the kids just felt, you know, well, okay, just keep our eyelids open, I guess, and not doze off. They thought it was kind of odd. But that's a kind of a theme that we're going to hear throughout Advent, you know, stay awake, be prepared. You don't know when the hour is going to come. Of course, we don't stay awake because death is coming, but we stay awake because life is happening. And so we choose to breathe the breath of Christ that makes all things holy. How do we bring loving kindness to every moment so that we're attentive to it? Holy befold, God right there. Woody Allen used to say, "I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens." And the same could be said of our living, you know, you want to be there when it happens. And so staying awake can mean a lot of things. It can mean a reordering of things. It can mean putting first things recognizably first, taking seriously what Jesus took seriously, cling to the things that matter and let go of the things that don't, identify yourselves in maybe a different way as one might who climbs the Lord's mountain and walks a certain path. I know a homie named Gus who works for me, and I've known him since he was a little kid growing up in the housing projects and got into a gang, and he has a fake leg. He has a prosthetic leg because about 10 years ago he was standing on a front lawn after a kind of a baptismal party of some kind, and they were all gathered up there, and a car drove by and opened up fire, and he was actually in a coma for a fair amount of time. But for the longest period of time, the doctors were trying to save his leg, and they finally couldn't do it. It really took a long time when they finally said, "We have to amputate." And I was visiting him a lot in those days, and you know how doctors give you markers, you know, hit these three marks, and you can go home. At some point, they said this to him. They said something like, you know, you have to be able to walk with crutches, you have to eat, and you have to pass gas, he told this to me. So one day I walked into his room and he's just beaming, a huge smile, and he said, "Gee, I farted." I said, "Congratulations, I'll make sure you get your certificate." But there was a tear in my eye, even if there was a twinkle in his, and he just rescued me from going to this dark place. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, I guess I'll never dance again." I said, "Gus, I've seen you dance. You couldn't dance before." And just to seal the deal, he looked at me with clear eyes and he said, "I am not my leg." And suddenly, swords, plowshares, spears, pruning hooks. Staying awake is redefining things altogether. There's an urgency in the gospel. It's stay awake with a kind of panic even. It's something indeed urgent. Some weeks ago, I was invited to attend a surprise party for a 90-year-old woman. Surprise parties can be dicey for a 90-year-old, you know. and she seemed to do okay, you know. Her name is Nikki, and she's French, and she was in the French resistance, fought alongside her father as they sought to disrupt and to delay and otherwise stop. Once there was a land-to-air missile that direct hit got a Nazi plane, a fighter plane, and then in a ball of fire, it started to swirl to the ground, and the townspeople where she lived were cheering and clapping. She turned to a friend, she said, "Don't clap." And her friend said, "Why not? That's the enemy." She said, yeah, but there's no parachute, and there's a human being in that ball of fire, and he belongs to somebody, a mother, a wife, a son. Don't clap. So the war ended, and the Americans, the GIs, came in there, and one Saturday morning, Nikki met this GI named John. The two of them sat on a bench, and there was an urgency about this moment. They both had known the horrors of war, and they didn't want any part of it, and they wanted to do everything with every breath they had to make sure it never happened again. And so they spoke about the urgency of the present moment and what they needed to do. And they sat on that bench, except for one moment where they went and got some bread and cheese. They sat on that bench until the sun set. And John said to Nikki, you want to get married? And she said, sure. And she left her country and her family. And a few years ago, I buried John, and they had been married 54 years when he died. There's an urgency to staying awake. It has nothing to do with death. It has to do with life. It has to do with being attentive to walking in a path that leads to the Lord's mountain. At Homeboy Industries, our trainees are there for 18 months, and then they graduate. We move them on to another job. And there was a guy there named Louie, a big, huge galoot of a gang member. I remember once he told me, all I wanted as a kid was to be a big, bad gang member. And then he looked at me and he said, I was disguised as that guy. And on the day that he was moving on, he asked to speak to the 300 who gather every morning in our office. And he looked out at the trainees and he said, all of you are diamonds covered in dust. You can wipe your dust off here. And he moved on and got another job. Well, one day I was at one of the probation camps saying mass, and he texted me and he said, my refrigerator died. Do you think you can do me a paro? Do me a favor, help me get one. So finally, when I got around to texting him, I said, Sears at 4 o'clock, and he texts me back, beers at 4 o'clock, he says, you know. Louis's got jokes. So I went to the Sears in Boyle Heights, and I went to the appliance department, and there's Louis talking to the salespeople. When he sees me, he gallops over to me, gives me a big bear hug, lifts me off the ground. As he's putting me down, I said, have they called security on your ass yet? And he said, nope, but it's a matter of time, he says. So we get a tiny little refrigerator on the installment plan, and I drive him home to his humble little apartment where for the first time in his life, he's paying rent with honestly earned clean money. And he hesitates to get out of the car, and he says, can I tell you something? Lately, I've been having one-on-ones, you know, with God. And then he says, and the dude shows up. And it makes me chuckle. Until he looks at me, I can see his eyes are welling up with tears. And he says, why would he do that? After all the bad I've done, why would he do that? And when we're awake to the truth of who we are, we discover that God looks beyond our fault and sees our need. And everything changes. Swords, plowshares, spears, pruning hooks. We choose to breathe the breath of Christ that makes all things holy, even our past. And we discover the holiness that's been there all along? How do we bring loving kindness to this present moment, knowing that we're saved by the present moment? And so we stay awake, and we choose to do so. Not because death is coming, but because life is happening. Holy, behold,